their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Christian teaching and talk. This is 91.7 FM, The Truth.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion as we face the issues each and every day. I believe we're in the season of Thanksgiving. I think it's a couple more weeks before we celebrate Thanksgiving Day. And I believe it's appropriate for us to talk about what the Scripture says and the challenge for Thanksgiving. In Colossians 3:15, the Bible says, "Be ye thankful." Now, you don't have to memorize this, but let me tell you, in the Greek text, it is what is called the imperative voice. That means it's a command. It's not an option. God commands us to be thankful. So that's our challenge today. Be ye thankful. Dr. Davis is with me, and we're going to talk about it in a moment. First of all, let me just remind you that as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It is the word of God that carries the first, foremost, and final authority in life and living. It's the instruction book. And if God says be thankful, I believe we need to adhere to that and be thankful. Perhaps you're woe is it me and saying, well, look at what I have, look at what I don't have, look at the plight in life, et cetera, et cetera. We're going to talk about that. We'll touch on it in just a moment about the first Thanksgiving with the pilgrims in 1620 and what they faced, and they were thankful, and what God did in blessing them as a result of it. Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, we go by the Word of God, the truth book. John 8:31 and 32, Jesus, speaking to his disciples, says, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." Further in John 17:17, the word of God makes a declaratory statement about the scripture, "Thy word is truth." And then in Psalms 117, verse 2, the scripture says, "The truth of the Lord endures forever." And may I say that's what we need to stick to, is the truth of the Word of God. It is, without question, something that will stay, will be alive, well, and valid forever. That's a pretty powerful statement. But yet we have those that believe that we should not depend on truth, that somehow we should not trust truth. It was the secularist George Orwell that said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." We find that to be truthful today. We find that to be factual. In fact, truth matters regardless of your embracing it or agreeing on it or not. Truth still is viable and ought to be embraced even today. It was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint. Headline says, "DeMint warns America's decline is linked to the death of truth." Let me just read you a portion of what DeMint said in that article. He says, "Truth is the core principle of the Judeo-Christian values, which are the foundation of the Western civilization. Judeo-Christian values are derived from the Bible, and the Christian church is the only custodian of the Bible. If you want to know the reason for the death of truth in America, look no further than the decline of Bible-based Christianity in our churches and in America." Ladies and gentlemen, the sad truth is, according to the recent survey, 55% of the younger Americans say there's no absolute truth. I'm reading a headline. Most younger Americans say there's no absolute truth. Later in that article, it states a statement, gives a number that is a little frightening when you look at it. It says 55% of Americans, 18 to 35-year-old age group, say that each person determines his or her own version of truth. There's not but one version of truth. You can take a fragment of it and call it truth. You can bifurcate truth. And you've heard me say a million times, a half-truth is a whole lie. And that's what we have taking place in our society today in general. Ladies and gentlemen, I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. And that's my challenge every day on this broadcast. We need to seek it. That's truth. You won't find it on the Communist Network News. By the way, CNN's laying off hundreds and hundreds of people. Some of their key staff, key anchors, are in jeopardy of losing their positions. Why is that so? Because the American citizens determined they were not going to listen to a source that is not truthful. CNN, in recent days, have started trying to give a balanced when they interview someone. I've noticed some of the anchors have started challenging some of their people they interview when they interview the left-wing fruitcakes. They try to go back and challenge them. Well, is it this? Is it that? Is it the other? So there may be a life left for CNN, but it looks like it is crumbling because they're standing for a lie and not standing for truth. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time carries the full line of Honda generators. Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a benchmark and identifier. There's a 165-foot flagpole on the campus of Tools for Time. Atop that flagpole is Old Glory, the U.S. flag flowing 24/7. The base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time, toolsfortime.com, toolsfortime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, it's about 2 weeks before Thanksgiving, and I thought it would be appropriate today for us to set the stage, set the, if you please, the temperature for what we need to be doing in relationship to Thanksgiving. Again, Colossians 3:15 says, be ye thankful. And our nation today, ladies and gentlemen, is now in the position. The nation is just now emerging from long election battle with the battle scars, multiple questions still unanswered looming as we approach our Thanksgiving season. May I say that it's a very sad thing. It's a very sad position. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, some of the naysayers, some of the loose-likes lost liberals on the left that are now crying wolf with their hair on fire and screaming that they're going to leave America. One of the fruitcakes said on national television, for Thanksgiving, if one of your relatives voted for Trump, disinvite them. Tell them they're not welcome in your home. Tell them that you will not sit across the table eating a turkey dinner if they voted for Trump. Shame them. Cause them to recognize their error in voting for Trump. That's the mindset that we have floating around today. But ladies and gentlemen, I want us to recognize and understand. I'm going to read a three-paragraph article. Some of you may understand it, might recall it. Some of you might have read it in history past. Title of the article is Thanksgiving Proclamation 1789. Who was the president then? George Washington. This is what Washington said, and I'll read it quickly, and we will get into the meat of the subject today. of Be Ye Thankful. Washington said, whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor. And whereas both houses of Congress have by joint committee requested me to recommend the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer, to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. Now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th day of November next, to be devoted by the people of all these states to the service of that great and glorious being who is the beneficent author of all that is good and was and that is and will be, that we may then all unite in rendering unto Him our sincere and humble thanks for His kind care, protection of the people of this country previous to their becoming a nation, for the signal and manifold mercies and the favorable impositions of the province which we experienced by the course of conclusion of the late war, for the great degree of tranquility, union, and plenty, which we have since enjoyed, for the peaceful and rational manner in which we have been enabled to establish constitutions of government for our safety and happiness, and particularly the national one now later instituted for the civil and religious liberty with which we are blessed, and the means we of acquiring diffusing useful knowledge, and in general for all the great and various favors which He hath pleased to confer upon us. And also, this is the summation, and also that we may then unite in most humble offering of our prayers and supplications to that great Lord and ruler of nations, and beseech Him to pardon our national and other transgressions, and to enable us all, whether in public or private stations, to perform our several and relative duties properly, punctually, to render our national government a blessing to all the people by constantly being a government of wise, just, and constitutional laws, discreetly and faithfully executed and obeyed, to protect and guide all sovereign and national, especially such as have shown kindness unto us, and to bless them with good government, peace, concord, to promote the knowledge and practice of true religion and virtue, and to increase of silence among them and us, and greatly to grant unto all mankind such a degree of temporal prosperity as He alone knows the best. Given my hand at the city of New York, this third day of October, in the year of our Lord, 1789, signed, George Washington. Ladies and gentlemen, I think that says it all. We can summarize, because he was praising God for a nation, for a constitution, for the opportunity to serve God and to be a blessing to other nations around. And I think that could very easily summarize what we should be thankful for even in this Thanksgiving season. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk about in just a moment the first Thanksgiving, what the conditions were like, what they did, and as a result of it, what God did in blessing them. Then we're going to talk about why I'm thankful. And our microphones will be open for you to call in and give your words of thanksgiving. Why are you thankful today? Why will you celebrate Thanksgiving? What will you say thank you, Lord, for? What is it that's needed in our nation today to say thank you, Lord? Can we say thank you for the election? Can we say thank you for putting Donald Trump back in office for the 47th president? What do you want to say thank you, Lord, for the present and past days that are before us? I believe we have Kenneth on the line. Go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. Daddy Youngblood, you are so straight up. I tell you what, Robert Kennedy Jr., he was ostracized by his family members for saying, yes, I'm going with Trump. Mm-hmm. And they was like, okay, you crazy. But I tell you what, That man was dead on point, because when he got in office, we were good. We were good. But anybody else would have gotten in that office, especially, I wasn't a Trump fan at first, but when he was running against Hillary Clinton, I was like, oh, heck no.
Let's go back for just a moment. It's something we ought to be thankful for. Let's go back for just a moment and realize what God has done just in the past few days in giving us reprieve from sure destruction of our constitutional republic. I don't know about you. I don't know about our listeners, but I will openly, publicly say I am thankful for God's divine intervention in putting Donald Trump in the position that he'll be sworn in January 20th, 2025. But going back to Robert Kennedy for just a moment, and you're talking about he's being ostracized by his family members, he's being demeaned by the media, etc., etc., when he's talking about making us healthy again, most people do not realize that our vegetables and crops of that nature are not accepted in most European countries because of the insecticides and the pesticides and the things that we spray on them that we as American citizens ingest that's destroying our health and putting us in the position that we've got to depend on Big Pharma for the rest of our lives. It is something that we need to be thankful for, that God has put it on the heart of Donald J. Trump to appoint Robert Fitzgerald Kennedy Jr. To be the head of the Health and Human Services. Right now, a wannabe male or female that's a man with all the gender intact but still dresses as a woman, long hair, and looks horrible as a freak that's now head of that department. Head of that department. And it's Robert Fitzgerald Kennedy is going to be now head of that department, and they're freaking out, if I can use that term, because he's talking about making America healthy again. And so I commend President Trump on it. I'm thankful for it. Now listen, we don't know what the future holds. Could be something that he'd want to inculcate into the world of health and vegetables, et cetera, that we may not like. But right now, I'm saying thank you, Lord, for putting him in that position, even though he's been ostracized, demonized by his family, and now ostracized, demonized, and they will do their very best. They, speaking of the Senate, they're going to do their very best to prevent him from being confirmed. But one of the good things is President Trump can call a recess of 10 days in the House and the Senate. He has the authority to do so. Once he's called a recess in the House and the Senate, he can do what's called recess appointments and appoint anybody he wants to for a two-year period of time. He has that authority. So at least we know that there's the potential of reprieve if somehow, some way, the loose likes lost left has the agenda that they want to do to undermine what President Trump is capable of doing. So, Kenneth, name, for the benefit of our listeners, name one or two things that you are personally thankful for this Thanksgiving.
I thank you that God gave us a reprieve and put him back in office.
Amen.
He's going to clean up the sewer.
I'm thankful for that. Really, keep praying. Keep praying. Pray for him. Pray for his safety. Pray for God's provision and wisdom as he makes decisions for our constitutional republic, this great country that we call America. Kenneth, thank you so much for your call. Thank you for your input. And in advance of Thanksgiving, I pray that you'll have a blessed Thanksgiving this season with your family, friends, and relatives.
Same thing. Yes. I just want to say one more thing. My wife and I, we're going to start coming to your church.
Well, we've got seats available. We're not going to charge a cover charge, so come on in. Love to have you, brother. Thank you so much, and God bless you. Have a wonderful day. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Dr. Davis, so good to see you today. Thankful that you had a good journey getting here to the studio that we could talk about Thanksgiving today. Give us some thoughts and your sense of where we are in America, why we should be thankful. What are you thankful for? And challenge our listeners for Thanksgiving.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Youngblood, and always it's a privilege to be here. And I thank God for the opportunity for waking me up this morning and the opportunity once again to share with the listeners on 91.7. And we certainly hope and pray that everyone will be encouraged, because God is yet in control. We need to just keep this in mind. One of the main things, at the very top of my list of Thanksgiving, is that I am thankful that God is still God.
Amen.
I'm thankful that he still has all power.
Amen.
Now, getting back to, I think, some of what Brother Kenneth was saying about being thankful, I'm just going to say, for the handworks of God. If we have never seen a miracle before, we have seen one.
You got it.
In the past few weeks.
You got it.
Now, let's make sure we understand. What we're talking about is the overall general intervention of God into the affairs of mankind. Because mm-hmm. when we consider the pathway that we were going under the woke culture, I think that God has given us a chance. I'm talking about the church.
Mm-hmm.
People in the world can repent, but the church really needs to repent.
Yes.
Because we have sat down for a little bit too long mm-hmm. and let things go as they always have been going,
mm-hmm.
life as we call it, in the norm. I mean, we know that a lot of things happen that change the norm as we know it.
Yes.
But since a new norm got put into place, then the church began to get comfortable with this because of compromise. Now, I say this over and over, and I teach this all the time. One of the most dangerous things that the church has ever done down through the years is to compromise.
That's right.
We sat back and we accept things, and we let things pass because we don't want to hurt someone else's feelings
mm-hmm.
or we don't want to lose friendship with them.
Yes.
James chapter 4, and I believe that's verse 4, says to be friends with the world is to be enemies with God.
You got it.
So now, which one do you want to be?
Mm-hmm.
So again, I'm just going to cut that short because I know we got a lot of things to talk about. Good morning to my bride of 38 years, amen, all my family and friends that are listening on today. Certainly hope and pray that you will be encouraged. But if you have not made Christ Jesus your Lord and Savior, now is the time to do so.
Amen.
Excuse me, because the doors of heaven are wide open.
Ready.
I believe right now
mm-hmm.
that this is the perfect season for you to make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior.
Amen. Well Amen. Stated. I believe we have a caller on the line. Give me the question to comment, please.
Hi, Dr. Youngblood.
Good morning. I hope you're doing well. Go ahead with your question.
Yes. To you and Pastor Davis, I'm thankful for the both of you. Most of all, I know we have a God, and also to his son, but I rarely hear anybody speak of the Holy Spirit. I thank God for our comforter, and I know that he is here with us also too. But the church, just by the elections and the people that they voted for in the Democratic Party, I pray to God that they turn around and receive discernment and wisdom.
That's right.
And also too, I thank God that we have people of all nations in our military, and they're willing to fight for our country. And I'm so thankful for them, because I'm sure it's a lot of them that weren't born here in America but came here and mm-hmm. started their life over, and they're willing to die because they don't want to go back to how it was where they left. But most of all, I thank God that Jesus sits on the throne and intercedes on our behalf.
Amen. Yes, well
too,
stated.
I thank God for my 23rd great-granddaughter that should be born around Thanksgiving time. I never thought I would live to see the day of that, because I should have been dead a long time ago. But I thank God for the two of you who are standing bold. And you know what? The frontliners, others are being called up. May we hear the call.
Amen.
Because I didn't know about all of this politics and stuff before, but through my husband, I've learned. But I thank God that my mind is alert and focused on what's going on in the world, and I don't fear.
Amen.
I do not fear anymore.
Amen.
And
that's
I thank God for that. I thank God.
Amen.
I thank
that's
God.
Well stated. Yes.
Amen.
Thank you for that testimony. You're exactly right. We need to realize what we have with a sound mind, with an opportunity to say thank you, Jesus, for what you've done. Yeah. And I believe it's time the church stand up, speak up, be heard in thanksgiving for what God is doing, even in what is called the political realm. Because when we look at the scripture, there's no such thing as political being separate from the Word of God. It is the kingdom of God, and what he says includes the home, the church, and civil government. And so we need to pray that God will intervene continually as he has in this election season. Thank you so much for your call. God bless you. Keep looking up. Thank you. I believe we have another caller on the line. Go over the question or comment, please.
My name is Teddy.
Yes, go ahead with your call.
I want to thank God for his Holy Spirit and changing my heart and God's timing. And I pray that the world turns from their wicked ways and acknowledges God in everything they do, because this world is becoming more ugly day by day. And I thank him for my family, and I thank him for his grace and his mercy.
Amen. Well, that's a plate full, and I'm thankful for your testimony. We need to say thank you, Lord, for Jesus. Thank you for his dying on the cross. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for the privilege we have of serving you. And Teddy, I say many times, I'm thankful for the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It's the Word of God that's the roadmap, the track that we need to run on. It gives the answers to every human problem or question that we might have. It's the answers found in the Word of God. And so thank you for your testimony. Thank you for your call. Let me remind, by the way, thank you again for your call. Be blessed today. Let me remind our listeners that number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. The command in the scriptures, be ye thankful. Dr. Davis, what are some of the things that you'd like to challenge our listeners on in relationship to Thanksgiving? And why is it? Let me just tuck in a second part of that question. Why is it so many people apparently, seemingly, are not thankful? Maybe you can just blend the statement and answer together.
Well, you know, Dr. Youngblood, it's pretty confusing when you sit down and try to analyze why any human being would not be thankful.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, God created you.
That's right.
And you are who you are. And you are unique. If you don't love yourself, then there's something wrong with that picture, because you have to realize that there's only one of you. You may have a twin brother, twin sister.
My wife says amen. Go ahead.
So forth and so on. But there's only one. When God made you, he broke the mold.
That's right. Only
one of you.
Mm-hmm.
So first of all, you need to be thankful that God created you and gave you life.
Amen.
So I know we got the break coming up.
And he has a purpose for each of our lives.
Amen.
We're created as a unique being. We're created in the image of God. We're unique. We have a volitional choice. And God created us that we might reach others with the gospel and that others might come to know him. He's created us for a purpose. First and foremost and final purpose is that we be a witness for him, that we impact lives for eternity.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. In just a moment, we're going to take a break. But before we go to the break, Dr. Davis, I'm going to read the first Thanksgiving in America. When the Pilgrims sailed on the Mayflower and landed in America in the fall of 1620, they faced many challenges. The winter climate was harsh. Many suffered sickness and disease. Food and shelter were hard to obtain, especially in their weak condition. The Pilgrims experienced hunger, starvation during that time, and they called starvation time in the harsh environment. Half the Pilgrims died the very first winter that they arrived. But ladies and gentlemen, we'll look at it after the news break. But the thing is that I want us to understand, it was harsh winter. The majority of those that came on board the Mayflower died because of the harsh winter. Starvation and freezing were the major problems. But because they had a Thanksgiving, God blessed them, and the next season was abundance because of their, even in the harsh conditions, they said, thank you, God.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take the top of the hour news break. Right after the news break, we'll come back. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials as we continue to face the issue.
Blessings with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine.